My iPad isn't working this morning. Robbie's working on it. It's worked every Sunday for 10 Sundays, but today for some reason it isn't. So I wanted to have the scripture up on the wall. I'm going to be reading from Galatians 5, but it doesn't look like we're going to have it up there for you. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26. You want to tap the screen so that border at the bottom will go away? Oops. I'm going to tap the screen so that border will go away so you can see the bottom line. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Thanks. Sorry, you may be dismissed. Just kidding. It's all right. Kind of matches how I'm feeling today. Okay. So I say then, good job. Live by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Isn't that a great goal? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Lacking today so badly in our world. Long-suffering. Daddy used to say, what's long-suffering mean? It means suffering long. That's what he always would say. Long-suffering means that you're going to be kind and compassionate and see this thing out. And you're going to suffer a while, and you're willing to suffer long if need be. Long-suffering. Kindness or gentleness, it says in some translations. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Boy, I enjoyed that lively Sunday morning service. Man, that music really got me going. Now go out and walk in the Spirit. Put it on and wear it. Take it to Square D. Take it to the airbase. Take it to Walmart. Take it to Peru Utilities. Take it to the office. Let us walk in the Spirit. For as you walk in the Spirit and you put on the truth that God gives you in a lively morning service, God will begin anointing you in those workplaces. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. His desire for us is that we put it on and wear it. 1 John, it says that we walk as Jesus walked. Did you know that you're Jesus in your department at work? Did you know that you are Jesus at your department at work? When I came to grips with that truth, it radically changed me at Kroger's. When I began really believing that I was a representative, ye are my witnesses, Jesus said, I was a little more cautious before I ran my mouth. I was a little more careful before I blurted out my opinion. A little slower to jump into the midst of a situation that was difficult. When I began realizing that I was Jesus there, and that we are indeed his hands and feet. How does Jesus show up in the various places in the world? How does he do that? He does that through us as we walk in the Spirit. Seeking God's Spirit in your life and then walking in the Spirit. The last three or four messages, we've been spending a lot of time hammering on this thing of spending time with God. And I've been telling you boldly that if you're going to make it, as our society melts down and as our world conditions worsen and as the storm clouds gather and we near the seven-year tribulation period in the coming of Jesus Christ, which is predicted so clearly in the Word. No man knows the day or the hour. Don't be deceived by somebody who comes along and quotes a day or hour. But he said you would know the season, and he even said he did not want you to be ignorant of the season. He wanted you to be aware, and the signs are around us. And I've been hammering and hammering and hammering away at the importance of time with God. A few weeks ago, I shared Isaiah 30:15, in returning and rest you will be saved. How is it when tough times come, as we face the meltdown of our future and what the Bible has predicted, how is it that you'll be saved? In returning and rest, you will be saved. Returning to God, returning to Him again tomorrow, returning to Him on Tuesday, returning to Him on Wednesday morning or evening, whenever your time is with Him, for refreshment, for enablement. In returning and rest is how you will be saved. In quietness and confidence will be your strength. And I've been hammering the importance of that, that church is a supplement, but you have to have your own walk with God. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I shared from 1 Kings about Elijah hearing the still small voice, how that there was a mighty thunder and there was fire and there was lightning on the mountain, but it said God was not in those, but he was in the gentle whisper, which in the Hebrew of the Old Testament means the gentle breeze blowing through the leaves. I want to hear his voice. Last week I talked to you about, where's your comfort come from? We're not here to bring condemnation on anybody. We're here as a rescue. We're here to seek and save with God's enabling those who are lost, for the broken. We want them to come. The issue that God has with all of these things we chase, whether it be addictions or what it be, the issue that God has isn't a black and white rule list that he hangs over your head and brings down the gavel like a stern judge and says, what did you do that for? The issue that God has with it is that you're going to someone else besides him for comfort. You are going to someone else besides him for comfort. He wants to be the comforter, we read. Let not your heart be troubled at the beginning of the service. You believe in God, believe also in me. He wants you to come to him for comfort. And it's in that quiet time, that being still before him, that listening to the still small voice, where we receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You cannot carry some of the things you're trying to carry. That's why you seek out other ways to cope. God understands that. And I think we understand a little bit. You can't carry some of the things you're carrying. You can't carry some of the memories of child abuse that are in your mind. You can't handle it. You can't carry some of the burdens you feel from broken relationships. And that love song comes on and your heart just bleeds because it brings back memories of lost love. You can't carry those burdens of broken relationship. But God sends the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will heal and salve and bring wholeness again to your heart. That's found in seeking God and spending time with Him. As you spend time with God, He imparts His Spirit. There are many things that the Spirit does, and we're going to kind of launch from those last three messages today, and I'm going to do my best today. Not in very good shape today. I'm going to do my best to launch from that and share some benefits that come from time with God, picking up the gentle breeze, walking with God. One of my favorites is actually the sixth one on the list that I have, and I'll not cover them all today. We had lots of music today, but I'll cover part of them and pick them up in a later message. But one of my favorites is in the list of what God provides us through His Spirit. I have 14 things here. Don't worry, I'm not doing them all. I think my favorite, and I can't leave it out. In fact, I'm going to start with it. My favorite is number 6. You know that. I think one of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. You know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. We're talking about the benefits of time with God. Why is this so important? Why have I spent three messages with urgency talking to you about the importance of spending time with God? Oh, I've begun the messages each time by talking about end times a little bit. Yes, we are nearing the tribulation hour. We are nearing the time of Jesus coming back. We're nearing the time when it says in Matthew 24, then shall be great tribulation like never was or ever shall be. And if you can't see that coming, you got blinders on. To be prepared for that, you need your time with God. But then may I suggest to you this morning very strongly that there's some benefits that come from time with God that you don't want to be without. I've seen these and I speak on them with passion because I've seen them active in my own life. And number 6 is probably one of the best things. I love it when God breathes His Spirit and causes you to do something that you later realize was directly a result of His Holy Spirit's guiding. Sometimes you're aware of it, but sometimes you're unaware of it. And I think it's better sometimes when you're unaware of it, because then afterwards you can take no credit whatsoever for it. I had that happen Friday evening. Friday evening, Pam had left with Alan to take the kids back to Missouri to meet Alan's ex-wife, Misty. Legally, ex-wife. And had a lot of heavy thoughts on my mind. Had had a couple of meetings with people from the church and a lot of things going on in my mind, and spent some time over at the rescue resort where we're putting that in for the girls, making a lot of progress on that, by the way. Always record the news, and about 8 o'clock, I thought, go home. Boy, that house is big, Pam, in there, you know that? Hear your voice echoes back and forth. Fix myself a little burger. Sat on the edge of the bed and kind of looked around. But I do enjoy solitude at the same time. About 8 o'clock, I always record the news, so 8 o'clock I sat on the bed and propped up my pillows like I do when I watch the news. My stomach started really bothering me. I hadn't been having much stomach trouble, and endoscopy a while back, and stomach seemed to be better. My stomach just started bothering me. Well, this is going to sound a little crazy, but my doctor verified this. It helps when you ride a horse. It really does. I've been saying this for years, people be laughing at. I've been saying this for years, and people have been laughing at me, but I loved it when my doctor agreed with me. And she said, you're exactly right. I thought, because they all thought it was silly. I have a hiatal hernia, and sometimes that gets worse, and sometimes the stomach will slip up through the diaphragm, and it gives you extra problems. And so I came up with a theory a while back that if you drink a huge bottle of water to put weight in your stomach, and then you trot on a horse, I noticed I always felt better. Well, my doctor said that makes perfect sense. My doctor said, absolutely. What that does is, she said, actually, when we try to give you a treatment to help hiatal hernia, we try to pull the stomach back down. When you're bouncing on a horse, I said, well, one time I also ran a powered post hole digger at Tom's, and we were putting in posts at his house, and I was hitting roots all day, and I was just shaking terrible trying to run this thing like you would a jackhammer. And I noticed at the end of the day that hernia was just totally relieved. And right after that, I'd had an endoscopy, and they said, well, that's, we can see the mark where it was, but it's not there anymore. The doctor told me, said that, so I was right on that. You guys laughed at me about that. I can't remember who you were, but I want to rub it in a little bit. Doctor said, that makes perfect sense. So my stomach was bothering me a little bit. So I'm going somewhere with this. God's involved with you just the way you are. I'm sitting on the bed. My stomach hadn't been bothering me for the last few weeks. My stomach was bothering me. And out of nowhere, I thought, I'm going to ride Cody for a little bit. Pam's gone. It's 8 o'clock. It's be nice. I'll just watch the rest of the news later. I'm going to ride Cody for a little bit. That was the wind of the Spirit. I got on the horse, took off down the road. My horse is real interesting. He knows lots of gospel songs. He really likes Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Lead me on, let me stand. Well, he does. I'll get on him and start, and I'll sing Precious Lord. He always turns his ears around backwards. I think, well, he wants to hear it. He does. He knows that song. So I started riding my horse down the road, and I'm trotting down the road, and I went down past the neighbors and down around toward the river and down toward the big monument over there by the river. And when I was coming back, my neighbor came running out. Tom, like that. Stop. So I pulled the horse up. Said, Cody, stay. I'm going to throw that in. I've taught him to stay. He'll stand right there. Proud of him. I'd like to show off that just a little bit. He starts to move. I'll say, stay. He stays. We stopped in the middle of the road, and my neighbor came out. Tears welled up in his eyes. And he said, I'm so glad to happen to see you right now. I just found out my wife has breast cancer. Will you pray for us? I didn't have anything to do with that. But I do want to say, roll with your day and let God direct you. I didn't have anything to do with that. Now, I could have sat on the bed and got all sideways. Daggone it, I just had my stomach worked on. Now I'm having all this trouble. Let's go for a ride on the horse. That might seem like a simple thing, but learn to flow with your day. Learn to roll with it. Sometimes things go backwards because God wants to slow you down because there's somebody he wants you to talk to. Sometimes you don't find the part at Ace Hardware because you're supposed to go to Napa because there's somebody there you're supposed to encounter. And if you're all sideways all the time, this busy world messes with us. Are you with me? And more I'm saying, Lord, help me to go with what flows. Help me to pick up that, I'm an extremist. You've never noticed that. I want to pick it up when it's the faintest breeze. I want to pick it up. I say, Lord, make me, and I grin when I say it, and I'm praying. I say, Lord, make me keen as an eagle. Make me keen as an eagle. I don't miss anything. And that night, I realized when I got back, as my neighbor stood there and just poured out his heart and had tears in his eyes, and he said, we just really need you to pray for us. And I said, buddy, you got it. Oh, thank you. I said, well, thank you for thanking me, but it's an honor that you would come out and stop me and ask me to pray for you as a neighbor. That's an honor. And he said, well, I see you walking all the time. And I said, and every time you see me walking, you tell Deb I'm going to be praying for her when I'm walking. I want to be led of the Spirit. And sometimes that path leads you through some troublesome things. Learn to flow with it. Pastor, why are you emphasizing that? Because we're entering a time that's more stressful than others have had. In the last days, perilous times will come. We're entering a time period when things are just a little tighter than they used to be. Before my mother's death, I'll never forget it. My mom's an incredible Christian. She should have been the 11th chapter of Hebrews with the patriarchs. I said to her, and I've told you this, but it bears repeating this morning. I told her one time, I said, how in the world did Daddy preach every night? I'd already be in the cemetery if I did that. And I never will forget, she was in her 80s. It wasn't long before she died. She died shortly after that. I said, how in the world did Daddy preach every night? I must be the wimpiest thing in the world. And she said, she went like this, and she said, "No, no, Tom. These days are different." And that caught my attention. She said, "When Daddy was preaching during the revival era, it just seemed like things," she said, "they weren't easy. But," she said, "it just seemed like things are flowing." She said, "I feel it. There's a change." "There's a change in our world. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men should," 2 Timothy 3, "for men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Hello, we live in that world. We're rubbing shoulders with those influences all the time. But the Holy Spirit is our enabler. He guides, He comforts, and He wants to lead us by the breath and wind of His Spirit. I'm not going to go into this, but the theology behind the word breathe in the Bible is awesome. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Remember that? The Spirit came, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit began with a rushing mighty wind. When God created man, He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Sometimes, some of you like to study, look at the word breathe and follow it through the Bible. And it's interesting. God intended for man to be led of him all the way, but he turned. He breathed into his nostrils, Adam, and made him, he was to live eternal. He walked with God. That was before sin came into the world. The very life he had came from the breath of God. Now sin has taken us astray, but you can come to God and confess your sins and open your heart, and He will breathe into you the breath of life. And you will become living again like you were supposed to, because real life and abundant life is knowing Christ and having a relationship with Him. Number six. Are you still up there?
You still are.
Number six is my favorite, guided by the wind of the Spirit. I'm just going to pick two or three out of here that I feel prompted to talk about so that I not keep you too long. Time with God, quiet time with Him. I've been hammering that. Why is that so important? You'll be guided by the wind, number six. Let's go back to number one. Power over sin. I had somebody say to me one time, "Pastor, I can't live a Christian life in that factory." And I said, "No, you can't. But with the grace and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you can. In your flesh, you can't. Pastor, I can't live a Christian life in that office I work in." No, you can't. In yourself. In the flesh, you cannot. But that time with God, why is it so valuable? Why are we hammering it? Why have we just spent three messages on it over the last few weeks? Because there's things that come with that time with God, and one of those is power over sin. Vince, you come from a deep life of addictions. Am I right or not that the more time you spend with God, the more victory you have over your past? I knew your answer. Titus chapter 2. Some of you may not be familiar with the book of Titus. In fact, the mentoring group, this would be, we're going to be getting started here shortly. This would be a good memory verse. You know, every week we've been learning verses, and we had those listed in the bulletin, so through the summer you could work on them. But this would be a great verse. I memorized it years ago. "For the grace of God hath appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live holy, righteous lives right in the midst of this generation." What's that saying? The grace of God hath appeared. It's through His grace, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live holy, righteous lives right in the midst of this generation. And then it goes on into verse 13. looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Time with God gives us power over sin, gives us power over temptation. Daily refueling gives us the ability to cope with the things where the devil's trying to pull us back. Why is power over sin so important? In 1 John, it says that if you're going to follow God, you cannot continually, habitually sin. You're going to make mistakes from time to time. 1 John 2:1 says, I write unto you that you sin not. 1 John 2:1. I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So I write unto you that you not sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who's the payment for our sin, and not for our sin only, but the sins of the whole world. But it goes on to say in 1 John that if we say we love him and follow him, we're not to habitually sin. And there is power available through the grace spoken of in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. There is grace available to give us power over sin. Seek that. Chase it. It's a process. Some of you come out of deep darkness. God's patient with you. He works with us one thing at a time. But his goal for us is that we have power over sin and become victorious over our past. I need to look at what ones I want to use here. I'm going to go to number 5. I'll pick some out here. So time with God gives us victory, gives us power over the chains of sin and the bondage of sin. Yes, we're going to make our mistakes from time to time. Yes, we're going to have to go back and ask forgiveness from time to time. There probably isn't a day goes by I'm not asking forgiveness for something. I have an attitude I'm unhappy with or something. And we have an advocate with the Father. But his goal for us is to forsake, not just be forgiven, but forsake our sins. And that is accomplished through time with God. And he will bring you to a pure life, a place of personal integrity as you follow him. Anybody who has spent time with God and served him over the years will tell you that God brought them to a higher level of integrity as they have followed him. For he gives us power over sin. I'm going to jump to 5. How do you like that? I start with 6, go to 1, 9, and 5. Sensitivity to others and God. Sensitivity to God and others. The world makes us calloused. The society we live in scars us up. Time with God peels off the callous. Time with God brings us back to sensitivity. Healing balm in a marriage. Sensitivity. When I was a younger man, I hope Pam doesn't shout amen too loud. I didn't mean to be. If you give it an award for trying, I'm going to get one. I don't know if I'll get a reward for succeeding, but I'll get one for trying. But when I look back, I was insensitive in many things. As I've grown older and spent time with God, and a near-death experience is good for you. It brings you to sensitivity to God and others. A world that wants you to be cold and hard and push ahead and step on who you have to step on, the corporate mentality, God calls us to the secret place. The quiet place where he brings us back to our sensitivity to God and each other. You start noticing that word that you said, that the person's expression changed, and you're quicker to say, I'm sorry. The healing that that brings. I've been saying for years, God alone knows the hundreds of thousands of marriages that could have been saved if somebody would have said, I am sorry. if somebody would look the other person in the eye and said, I am sorry. Don't lose your sensitivity to God and others. And it's in your time with God that you'll gain sensitivity. And let me say something that I've said two or three times throughout the year, whether in a message or service, I don't know, but I recall saying it. But I have it in my notes and it needs to be said this morning. Sensitive to God. Now, that made sense, what I talked about, especially in the marriage, sensitive to each other. What do I mean sensitive to God? Well, I started with the gentle breezes of the Holy Spirit. I want to pick that up. I want to be sensitive when God's speaking to me. But I also want to be sensitive to the mood of God. You've heard me say from the platform many times, I want to be in the mood God's in. I don't want to be dancing when I'm supposed to be crying. Sometimes God's grieved at his heart. Oh, now I thought God was a happy God. Oh, did you? Well, he is the author of joy. That's for sure. But in Genesis 6, it said he looked down and saw the condition of the world, and it grieved him at his heart. If you're not grieved looking at some of the things you're seeing around the world, you're not in the mood God's in. I want to be in the mood God's in. Now, David, when they brought the ark back, man, he was in the mood God was in. The ark had come back. The ark of the covenant, which represents the precious presence of God. And David danced in the street to a point that embarrassed his wife, and she was prideful and upset with him. And he rebuked her for that, for he was joyful. He was in the mood that God was in. Time with God puts us in the mood God is in. And may I say to you, and this is a little bit private, but as I'm getting older, I'm trusting that more. I'm trusting it more. I'll have times when I have a sadness come over me. Pam will say, what's the matter? I'll say, I don't know. My heart is sad. And I will now, I didn't used to be wise enough to do this, I will go to the Lord and say, Lord, why is my heart sad? And God will show me something. Sometimes it's about myself. Yeah. Sometimes it's something about me he's not happy with. Respond to that mood that God puts on you. I'll just drink a couple more Pepsis and drive on. I want to be sensitive to the mood that God is in. Do you think we have a numb society? Do you think we've become dull? Yeah, we've become dull. Too much media, too much information. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And if you're going to get caught up in all that, I can't stop you from that, nor am I going to chew you out. That's not my place. But if you're going to get caught up in all that, you're not going to catch the mood and the gentle breezes of the Lord. I'm telling you. Here and now. You're not going to get it. I want to be in the mood God is in. Sometimes God is sad. I watched the Republican convention 2 weeks ago. Usually late. That's the latest I'd stayed up for a long time watching that silly thing. But I wanted to keep up with what's going on. And I watched the Democratic convention. I'm stirred by our world and what's happening. I'm not so moved about the individual stuff as I am the movements I see, the trends. There's bigger stuff going on. It has to do with principalities and powers, and people are caught up in it and they don't even know it. But when I saw the Republican Party make some major compromises, I had a sadness come over me, and I'm watching the news, and I'm fighting back tears, and I'm realizing, I'm thinking, man alive, am I just turned into a big baby at all? And God whispered to me in his own way and said, no, you're in the mood I'm in. I'm sad too. I'm sad too. As I watched him make some compromises on issues that they wouldn't have in the past. And it's true of both parties. Time with God will make you sensitive to others and to God. I want that badly. And the Lord just spoke to me on the last one because it's 16 minutes till. Number 10. Time with God will open our eyes and we will learn, hit this a couple of years ago in a message, but it needs said again. Time with God, please stay with me, will open our eyes and we'll learn to see and love others in the spirit and not in the flesh. Now stay with me. This is the key to unity in a church. loving each other in the spirit, not the flesh. I have traits. Now, don't everybody shake your head at once. I have traits that are annoying. You can shake your head this way. I have traits that are annoying. Hello. I'm intense. And I get in people's face sometimes when I'm talking. I don't even know it. If you think I was bad, you should see my mother. My mother would be doing dishes. Excuse me. Someone would be doing dishes. My mother wouldn't talk to him. She'd walk around and put their face down between them and the faucet and look back up at him. She was that intense. I have traits that are annoying. See my heart. See my heart. When we spend time with God, this has happened to me. I have people used to annoy me terrible, and I kind of like them. And they used to annoy me terrible. Because God peels off the layers and you start loving people in the spirit instead of the flesh. Do you know that everybody in here has an annoying trait of some kind? I'm just blessed with several. But you know what? Even the annoying traits, God knows what He's doing. It's interesting. Dad gets on my nerves. Boys haven't said that, I don't think. But you could say that. Dad gets on my nerves. Dad's so intense. But when a calamity happens, guess what? Where's Dad? See, there's another side to that trait. Same for all of us. I'm having a little fun with that. But unity in a church, we can get all theological about unity. And there's some theology. But I think this is simpler than we make it. When we learn to love each other in the spirit instead of the flesh, I want to be able to see through all the stuff. Maybe you were abused terrible as a child, so you're just defensive awful. Isn't it aggravating when somebody's defensive? Every time you open your mouth, they're defensive. But there's usually a reason for that. And when we start seeing through the flesh and recognizing that there are scars that made us the way we are, and that there is 6,000 years of flesh in this arm. And I don't have my glorified body yet. Now, if you're visiting, we didn't have any big fight here. Nor do I think anybody's mad at me in the church. But I want you to know that we are flesh and we don't have our glorified body yet. But one thing time with God will do will bring us to a place where we love each other in the spirit instead of just looking at the flesh. Now, are there sinful things at times in our flesh that need attention? Absolutely. If you're here and you're just full of pride or you're just full of jealousy or you're just full of lust, those are going to cause problems. So I'm not suggesting that those things aren't dealt with and we just look past it all. No, there are things, there are sin things that need dealt with. But I believe often what destroys unity among us and breaks it down, and then we can't be used of God to the extent that we would have been, is because we don't see each other's heart. Time with God opens our eyes and helps us to see and love each other in the spirit and not the flesh. Don't want to ride that too hard, but I do think that's key. I want you to see my heart. And I want to see yours. And I want to put the other stuff aside. And sometimes, too, you know, we had a little fun with it there a few minutes ago, and I'm talking about my own traits. But I think even in your walk, can I be real practical for a second? I think sometimes we even need to make fun of it, in a sense, and rise above it. That thing that maybe annoys you, but you know that that brother or sister in the body of Christ truly loved the Lord, and they would die for Jesus, and they really are sincere. Rise above it. Rise above it. And I've asked the Lord before. I'd be caught up in a situation, you know, and you get all worked up. Nobody's ever done that, I'm sure. You just get all worked up. And I felt like the Lord whispered and said, will you just rise above it? Just rise above it and forget it. Let it go. I want to love you in the spirit. And there's a pure love that's untainted. There's a level of love in the Christian life for each other that's totally untainted. I think it's neat, and take an exit ramp for just a second. I think it's neat the brotherhood and sisterhood that you can have in the body of Christ that's untainted. Some of you, I won't mention names, some of you, especially older in the congregation, we've been friends for a few years. Some of you that are Christian sisters, I have a deep love for you. But it's untainted. Loving in the Spirit's different than the flesh. There's people you know and you can honestly say, I love them. I adore that person. But it's untainted. It doesn't have lust in it. It doesn't have, because God, as we walk with Him, purifies that. Now, as young Christians, when we're working through that, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. But as we grow in the Lord too, it's safe. It's safe to love. And it can be very, very pure. We have had people who have been so good to us that there is a deep, deep, yes, a deep love for them that Pam has for them as a couple, both him and her, that I have for them. But it's untainted. It's not with thoughts crossing your mind that are inappropriate. It's a pure thing. God brings us to the heart of the matter. And it's neat to see that happening. I'm trying to whet your appetite a little bit to walk with the Lord. And some of you already know this, but some of you don't. There'll be things you're struggling with that'll melt away as you go along. It'll melt away. And God will purify your love. In 1 John, it says you're not yet made perfect in love. I've been praying, Lord, perfect my love. Perfect my love. And may people see it. Almost done. Well, I need to be done. Number 10 there, eyes open, see others, love them in the Spirit, not the flesh. One more quick thing. I'm going to tag onto that. It's not on the list. I've talked about this some, but I think I should say something about it in regard to unity. So I'm going to tag it on, then we'll quit. I've talked to you a couple times this last year about this whole thing of perception versus reality. Perception versus reality. Sometimes because of how people are raised, now we're talking about unity and loving each other in the Spirit and not in the flesh and looking past faults. Okay, that's what we're talking about. So under that, let's talk about perception versus reality. Sometimes due to people's backgrounds, maybe they're very narrow-minded. They've tunnel vision. Know anybody like that? You know, they always got this viewpoint. That's it. They can't see past here. Time with God will help you to understand perception versus reality. Repeating something, but I just feel the Lord summon my back on this. Had a situation a year ago or so where I went and apologized to some folks. Very sincerely. What motivated that apology is that God alerted me to their perception. Now, I'm going to tell you, because Daddy always used to say, don't apologize, tell the truth. I believe that perception was warped. I don't believe that perception was correct. And I think that there was somewhat of a distorted view of how the kingdom of God is supposed to operate. But from their background, they had a perception. And this one person in particular had thought that I had very, very much wronged them. I personally think there was blindness involved. Don't say that arrogantly, but I prayed a lot of hours over this. And God spoke to me and said, in my quiet time with God, asking for sensitivity, the gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go, and I want you to look them straight in the eye and tell them you were sorry because they believe that you wronged them and you're never going to change that. I thought, okay. That's good enough for me, brother. I don't want to hinder anybody from getting where they need to be with the Lord. And I went to this person. I'm referring to one person in particular. And I went to their home, and I said, I believe that you feel wrong to me. I can't lie about this. I didn't say that. I said, I believe that you feel very wrong by me. And this person said, I do. And I said, I came to tell you I'm very sorry that I hurt you, because I was sorry. I hurt them. I still don't understand it. But I was sorry that I hurt them because their perception was of such that they felt they were done wrong. And when I hugged them, they broke down and cried and they said, I knew you would come and talk to me. I said, thank you, Lord. Did I leave that house thinking, boy, my whole idea was full of baloney and they're all right? No, but I was glad I went. God will alert you to things where maturity has to come into play. God will alert you to things. Sometimes you got to swallow it, folks, and you got to meet people where they are and recognize that you've matured maybe by God's grace more than they have, and that their background has limited their viewpoint. And you say, well, you're kind of majoring on minors this morning. No, churches break down, unity is broken, the spirit moving is hindered because we don't do these things. We let it go, we get miffed, we get upset, we separate ways, we all kinds of things. But when we can learn to rise above, when we can learn to take the high road and be sensitive to God and others, God will continue to move in us. All right, aren't you glad I didn't talk about all 14? Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. We didn't get to number 9, want to forgive, which is a great point. May these folks forgive me for keeping in a little extra long. Extra music today, longer altar time. Use these truths, I believe that they are practical and foundationally theologically correct. I believe that they were given by you in my own thoughts and preparation. I ask you would confirm the truth to each one here. Guide us and direct us. Develop us. May we truly have a sensitivity to you and each other. I think that's so key in the years ahead. Watch over sweetly this place. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.